You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
In this bulletin, a symposium explores First Nations leadership of the clean energy transition. State and federal treasurers meet with the federal government for the first time since the new government came into office. And to sport, Sadio Mane wins African Footballer of the Year award for the second year in a row. There's a push for Indigenous Australians to be at the forefront of the nation's renewable energy boom. This push is at the centre of a two-day First Nations Clean Energy Symposium taking place in Melbourne. The event brings together community, government and industry. Among topics on the agenda are best practice principles to engage for industry to promote productive relationships with Indigenous communities and community-owned renewable energy projects. Ngalia leader Kado Muir and chair of the National Native Title Council says First Nations people have to take the lead and build equity in the green economy.
We need energy equity into our communities. There are communities, as we heard in one of the sessions today, that are becoming abandoned because people no longer have the capability to pay the fossil fuel price of maintaining power. We also have the issues around water, water security. So here's energy equity, energy security for communities. Then, of course, to participate and be involved in the renewable energy economy.
The federal government has scrapped changes made by the former government to the Australian Renewable Energy Agency. The agency is now no longer allowed to fund fossil fuel developments such as carbon storage and blue hydrogen. Its mandate has also been narrowed. The new regulations are set to ensure the agency's primary focus remains on funding renewable energy technology with the aim of increasing the level of renewable energy generation from 30% to more than 80% by 2030. State and territory ministers responsible for women and women's safety will meet the federal government in Adelaide today. They'll discuss gender equity and policy priorities, as well as national plans to end violence against children and a specific plan for First Nations women. It comes as the federal government earlier this week announced one of its main legislative priorities when the new parliament sits next week will be 10 days paid family violence leave for all employees. Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers is promising better relations with state and territory governments than the previous federal government. Dr. Chalmers is in Brisbane today, meeting for the first time with state and territory treasurers. He says he will work with the state and territories and that these governments and the Commonwealth government face a lot of similar challenges.
There's a new government in Canberra and there's a new approach to dealing with the states and territories. We want to see what we can achieve together. For much of the last decade, there's been too much conflict. We will do our best to work together to meet these challenges that we've got, whether it's high and rising inflation or labour shortages or the impact of interest rate rises, all at the same time as we're constrained by having pretty difficult budget situations. We're all in the same boat. We're all in it together.
Federal opposition leader Peter Dutton says the Prime Minister needs to justify keeping the border with Indonesia open. There are dire warnings of what could happen if the current outbreak of foot and mouth disease in Indonesia could cause if it took hold in Australia, with talk of the livestock industry closing down at a moment's notice, the large-scale slaughter of farm animals and higher meat prices. Mr. Dutton has told the Nine Network current measures the government is taking are insufficient.
I think the National Security Committee should be meeting as a matter of urgency, and it's why we've called on the Prime Minister to stand up and say, why shouldn't the borders be closed? I really think we need to hear from the PM laying mats out at the airport and, you know, doing a bit of social media into people who are coming back from Indonesia is just not going to cut it.
Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles has told Mr. Dutton industry groups are not calling for the border with Indonesia to be closed and says the coalition did not close borders in similar situations when it was in government. Caroline Kennedy has arrived to take up her appointment as the new United States Ambassador to Australia. Ms. Kennedy says there's a great deal of excitement in the U.S. about the U.S.-Australia bilateral relationship and issues in the wider region, as marked by the recent meeting at the Quad Summit in Tokyo between U.S. President Joe Biden and Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. Ms. Kennedy does admit, though, that her country needs to do more in this region. Ms. Kennedy was formerly the U.S. ambassador to Japan and is the daughter of the U.S. President John F. Kennedy. She says she particularly hopes to be worthy of her family's enormous legacy in public life.
My family legacy is something I'm really proud of and I try to live up to. And I think the fact that it means something to people around the world is makes me really proud, and I want to be worthy of it and do what I can to continue the values that my father lived by.
Authorities are warning people not to bring outdoor heaters and barbecues inside to try and stay warm this winter. Six people have been hospitalized in New South Wales this week with suspected carbon monoxide poisoning. A significant proportion of such poisoning occurs when burning equipment such as barbecues, charcoal briquettes, and coal burners are used inside at night for heat. But the medical director of the New South Wales Poisons Information Centre, Dr. Darren Roberts, says doing this can have fatal consequences.
People are feeling cold and they bring these burning devices inside because they see it as a practical way to warm up. But it's not. It's dangerous. It releases this toxic gas called carbon monoxide, and this can kill people. Carbon monoxide is very dangerous because it's a colourless, odourless, tasteless gas. People don't know that it's there. It accumulates slowly. It's like a silent killer.
Symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning can include headache, nausea, vomiting, and dizziness, while prolonged exposure can cause loss of consciousness and seizures. The Poisons Information Centre can be contacted from anywhere in Australia at any time by phoning 13 11 26. British Foreign Minister Liz Truss has cited Britain's trade deal with Australia as a reason she should be her country's next Prime Minister. Ms. Truss has begun her campaign to be the next leader of the Conservative Party in earnest. Conservative Party members, numbering around 200,000, have until the 2nd of September to vote for either Ms. Truss or former Treasurer Rishi Sunak to succeed Boris Johnson. Ms. Truss is offering to alter economic policy by offering tax cuts that will cost around $51 billion per year. Mr. Sunak says he'll only cut taxes once inflation is brought under control, saying proposals like those of Ms. Truss are unrealistic. Ms. Truss says the trade deal with Australia that occurred on her watch is an example of what she is capable of.
If we continue with our current economic policy, which is forecast to lead to a recession, it will be very hard for Conservatives to win an election. What voters will judge us on is delivery. And I'm somebody, in every government job I've done, I've got things done. Whether it's at the Foreign Office with our tough sanctions regime on Russia, whether it's at trade with the trade deals with Japan and Australia, I'm somebody who pushes through, gets things sorted out and gets things done.
Turkish officials say a United Nations plan to unblock exports of Ukrainian grain will be signed later today in Istanbul. Ukraine, Russia and the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres will be present for the signing ceremony. The deal will resume exports of some 20 million tons of grain that have been stuck in the country's Black Sea ports due to Russia's invasion. There is hope it will ease the global food crisis that has prices of wheat and other grains soaring. UN spokesman Farhan Haq says the aim of all parties involved to reach a globally benefit the aim for all parties involved to reach a globally beneficial agreement.
What we're trying to do is have an agreement that would allow for Ukrainian and Russian food and fertilizer to reach global markets. As you know, we've pointed out for many months how serious the food crisis around the world is. And this is a component, a large component of that that crisis. So if we can resolve this, we can potentially save hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of people from having food be priced out of their reach.
And to sport in football, Sadio Mane has won the African Footballer of the Year award for the second year in a row. The Senegalese striker beat out his former Liverpool teammate Mo Salah and fellow Senegalese star Edouard Mendy for the prize. Mane, who recently signed with German champions Bayern Munich, scored the winning penalty in Senegal's African Cup Nations wins earlier this year. And 6 weeks later, the penalty that sealed Senegal's qualification for this year's World Cup. Mane has accepted his award at a ceremony in Morocco. At the ceremony, Confederation of African Football President Patrice Motsepe says he's confident African teams will do well at this World Cup.
The infrastructure in many other countries in Africa will contribute towards African football being globally competitive and being amongst the best in the world. Of course, the other issue for us is we are getting ready to go to Qatar. And I'm very confident that the national team of Morocco, the national team of Senegal, the national team of Ghana, the national team of Tunisia, and the national team of Cameroon will make us proud.
It's to be said that Tunisia has been drawn in the same group as the Socceroos. And now having a look at the weather around the country, this Friday afternoon, Broome, a sunny day 29, Perth, a shower 219, Adelaide, partly cloudy 17, Melbourne, mostly sunny 17 degrees, Hobart, sunny 14, Albury-Wodonga, sunny 17, Canberra, possible shower and a top of 14, Wollongong, showers 16, Sydney, showers 17, Newcastle, showers easing 18 degrees, Brisbane, rain 18, Townsville, sunny day ahead 25, Cairns, sunny as well 26, Alice Springs, sunny 25, Darwin, sunny 30 degrees, and the Torres Strait Islands, partly cloudy day and a top of 29 degrees. And that is NITV Radio News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.